This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Thursday, the 14th of December, 2017. My name is Patrick Smith. Well, I'd love to say it's back to business as usual. The Belfast Giants with 4 points this weekend from two games where they're really up against with regards to suspensions, injuries and the like. But they dug deep and we walked out with 4 points. Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Kitchen, how are you?
Dead on, Paddy. Good to talk to you. Evening, Sis.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
How was the panto, Davey?
Oh, the panto was very good. Marty Pello, Rangers loyal, and Joe Pasquale. It was the kids had a ball. It was really good. It was good fun.
The King of the Jungle, wasn't he? Joe Pasquale. I don't even
very
watch
funny.
That show.
It was a very, very funny. He played his part really, really well.
Oh no, he didn't. Anyway.
Oh no, he didn't.
Get in there. Yes, so we've got plenty to talk about in this week's show. We've got interviews with Jim Vandermeer, Jeff Mason, and of course, Adam Keefe. We'll look around the league, look at a few of the DOPS things that happened. Look ahead to Fife and Nottingham, your TFAs. There's a couple of them come in. But we start with news that came out just after last week's podcast that in the light of all the suspensions, injuries, and the likes, Ashley Tate, formerly, of course, of the Nottingham Panthers, Sheffield Steelers, Coventry Blaze, and most recently, Milton Keynes Lightning, was going to step in as temporary cover for the Belfast Giants on this past weekend. He wore the number 42, in line with the age that he is right now. Davey, you interviewed the fella. Your thoughts on the fact that the Giants moved to bring him in for the weekend?
I think the numbers that were down and made sense. If you could get a British player with instant availability to come and play and someone that can play a shift competently, I think that you'd be mad to turn that opportunity down. You know, I've seen an awful lot on Twitter about how AVFTB would polish the turd, so to speak, and, you know, say to a party line. But for me, it was a decent enough signing. And I think his two games, he proved that, you know, he's more than capable of holding down a shift and holding down a position in this league. And you know, age is a number. If you're good enough, you're young enough, you're old enough. And I think Ashley Tate played pretty well over the weekend.
There are exceptions, of course, to that. You know, the fact that players like Steve Mariah, Tony Hand, all played. Chris Chelios all played at three players that you always put together. They all played at a high level at a let's say moderate age. Simon, Ashley Tate, your thoughts when he was brought in?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually a wee bit surprised, but you know, again, being down, suspension, three guys out and four guys out injured, and you know, ultimately, I think Adam was talking about traveling with five defence and eight forwards. So, you know, you're definitely up against it if that's the case and bringing him in. And obviously Stevie Eccles traveled as well, but that was a late decision from Stevie, from what I'm led to believe. So, you know, taking him over and getting him on the bench. And look, although he didn't get on the ice, it'll help him. It'll help his development. Although I still think he should be taking the chance to play with maybe an SNL team or a B, no, not a BNL, but the Northern League at some stage. But and he's getting the chance. He's still trying to train most days. But with regards to Ashley Tate, you know, the guy's absolute quality. And you know, I know he picked up an injury on Saturday, but he still played on Sunday and put the efforts out. And the shifts that he did put in, I don't think he could complain about. And I thought he did a good enough job.
Davey, what do you think? Like, when Tate was signed, there were a few people on Twitter and Facebook and the likes just questioning the fact that why we've brought him in instead of taking more of a chance, instead of giving Stevie Eccles more of a shift, instead of maybe bringing Adam Robinson into the side and giving him more of a time. Is it a case of, you know, Eccles and Robinson, like, they're progressing in it, but Tate knows how to play in this league?
There's definitely an element to that, Paddy. As I said in my earlier piece there, you know, he comes with a CV. He's played in the elite league up to 2 weeks ago. You know, he's looked after himself. He's got a history of what he can do in this league. And, you know, to an extent, Stevie Eccles, Adam Robinson are still that unknown quantity with potential that are coming through. And could you stick out Adam Robinson or Stevie Eccles on a line with, I think, Tate played with Ferland and Sav. He played with Ferland and Toy, you know, in that sort of fourth line role. You put him into the storm shelter against the team, and we'll go on to the game. A team with the sort of the power and the poise and the way that the storm swarm all over you in that wee rink, you could destroy a Stevie Eccles or an Adam Robinson very quickly there. You know, you could run roughshod through their confidence. They could go out there and have a couple of bad shifts and you know, take 6 months to get over that. Whereas Assi Tate knows his role, knows his onions, knows what he's got to do. You can put him out there and he can play straight away. And that's with no disrespect. I want to see more of Adam Robinson and more of Stevie Eccles getting game time, if it's in the SNL, the NINHL, whatever, you know, whatever league they go to, or getting game time with us in games. But they're realistically only going to get game time at the minute, which has been shown in games where perhaps, you know, the score is without doubt. And it's the kind of same thing as whenever we played the Manchester Storm the other week and we were absolutely destroying them with 3-0 on for, you know, 10 minutes. That reward for doing the hard work, turning up, training every day, putting yourself in a position to be ready to play when called upon. What I noticed, and you know what I love reading by, Stevie Eccles was on his feet most of that game, engaged with the rest of the bench, engaged in the game, watching the game, watching, and Simon said, watching, learning, being part of it. Okay, didn't get any ice time that night, and it was a very tight game right to the end, so it's not something you can just throw him into, probably. So the coach has to take that into consideration. His time will come.
Simon?
Agreed. You know, again, I mean, I've been in that position with regards to having young lads, coming through the ranks and the lower leagues to try and get into the BNL team we were playing. You know, we, Stevie Hamill was one of them, and Stevie was probably only 17 or 18 at that time, and trying to get into the BNL lineup, and he had to bide his time. Towards, we picked up, but actually lost a couple of players come up to the likes of January, February time, and what's that noise?
Sorry, that's me. Sorry, just a second.
Are you all right there?
No, I'm having a wee pancake, mate.
That was a second. This absolute slap, like.
Making a complete hornet to this. Right, go ahead.
Wee Stevie Hamill came into the lineup, and he was, as I say, he was only 17 or 18 at the time, and he had to bide his time. He had to wait until, I think it was about the end of January, early February, before he came on. And when he did come in, he was ready. He went out and gave absolutely everything, every shift. But, and this is probably going to sound as if it's having a go at the two boys, I mean, Adam and Stevie. I honestly don't think they're ready for the elite league. I honestly don't. You know, yes, they're training every day. Yes, they're, well, not every day, but they're training most of the days, and they're putting the effort in there. But the level jumping from SNL or the two leagues that they played in North America last year to the professional league, it's a massive, massive jump.
And well, here, you look at the learning curve or the time it took Darcy Murphy to just coming from a high-level NCAA team into the elite league. Even the jump from college hockey to the elite league, from the juniors to the pros, there's a gap.
There's a massive gap, Davey. And I'm pretty sure Darcy Murphy played in ECHL last year. I'm pretty sure he did. And that's coming, so he came from ECHL to the elite league, and we've seen him I wouldn't say struggle, but he was slowly to get to his feet, and he's a couple of years older. And don't forget, he's played 30, 40, 50 games a season since he was probably 12 or 13 years old. So, you know, whereas these boys have, last year, they probably played more hockey than they've ever played. They played in the SNL, you get 10, 12, 14 games a season. That's what they got when they were in Belfast. So you're playing at that level, you're not, okay, you're probably playing regular, maybe every shift or double shifting between the two of them, but they're as much as they definitely improve, 100%, they've definitely improved. I just think throwing them in Manchester or Sheffield in a really tight game on both occasions, it really could have damaged their confidence.
I think something that I want to revisit in the next couple of weeks, or maybe coming towards the end of the season, is, with all due respect to our British contingent, but what the future holds for our British contingent within the side. I think we do have, like I say, with all due respect to the likes of Sheds and whatever, is that, you know, they're obviously not going to be around in the side forever. And maybe it's something that the Giants need to look at. We'll come back to that because we're going to batter ahead and we're going to look at the games from the weekend. First up, we went to what's now called the Manchester Ice Arena or Planet Ice at Altrincham. We call it the Drizzle Dome, for the game against the Manchester Storm. A tight affair. The Giants skating out 6-4 winners. And it was Mike Hammond, the Greg Louganis of the Elite League, who took the lead for the Storm in the first period after around 15 minutes. The Giants hit back in the second period pretty early. Jim Vandermeer, David Rutherford and Sebastian Silvestre with three goals within the first 7 minutes of that period to make it 3-1. Before that, former Edinburgh Capital, Nate Fleming on the power play, pulled one back. And then Mike Hammond again made it 3-3. Blair Riley, short-handed, stepped up towards the end of the second period, about a minute left to put the Giants ahead, before Matt Becker pinned us back once again early in the third period after only a minute. However, Blair Riley, with more or less the same amount of time left in the third period as he had in the second, finds the net for the game-winning goal, and Steve Saviano with the empty net rounds off the scoring at 6-4. In nets, Jackson Whistle gets the win, 25 shots, 21 saves. At the other end, Mike Clemente, 28 shots, 23 saves. Excuse me, your referee was Tom Perring. Davey, I'll start with you. This was always going to be a tight affair. We've had the last... we looked at the 9-3 mauling that we give them, but open ice, time, space to move, we were able to tear them apart. Small ice, you can see how much the Manchester Storm play and they try to tie things up and get in the way of pucks, and they know how to play on that small ice, and it took us a fair bit of work and a fair bit of time to get through it.
Yeah, but I thought in that first period especially, we came out and we played well. You know, you're looking, watching the game back, we took the game to them, and but for, I think it was Jeff Mason breaks his stick on a one-timer from the point, and we get outnumbered and they get a goal. You know, I think but for that, we take the lead, we'd probably never look back in the game. Yeah, we came out in the second period, bang, bang, bang. I think we're about 4.5, 5 minutes, you know, from the first goal, they were 3-1 up, and they claw their way back into it a wee bit on the power play. But you know, I think overall it was a pretty good performance. The amount, this I know it's something I've been crying out for, is, you know, enforcement on the face-offs in the league. Took their rules on Saturday night. The players didn't know where they were standing half the time.
No,
as in they didn't know. Dropped the puck. I think Jim Vandermeer's taking a penalty.
2 minute.
A player, and you know what he's done? He said, Jake, drop the puck, would you?
Yeah.
That's, I guarantee you, that's what he said. There was, you're throwing out, then both players should have been thrown out. Everybody should be getting to delay the game. The person should be getting to delay the game. The linesman who just wouldn't drop the puck. And he's given players, they're getting twitchier and twitchier. And either enforce it rigidly or don't. Because on Saturday night, we take a delay a game penalty. And on the ensuing face-off, they should have took a game, delay a game for penalty for exactly the same offence. But the lino said, right, guys, come on, calm yourselves down. Either enforce it or don't enforce it. So, you know, we took a penalty. You've got to be willing to penalise the other team as well. And there was times the other night where the Giants, you know, were guilty of doing it, and so were the Storm. And they weren't called. The next time it's called, players just weren't sure where they were standing. And it seemed that, I can't remember who was commentating for the Storm, but they're saying you could nearly go and get a beer every time there's a face-off here. They're taking that long. It really did delay the game. But players have to take responsibility and set up right. But that was a little bugbear the other night. I thought overall, we certainly, certainly deserved a win.
I think, Simon, I've got a couple of post-game interviews with Adam Keefe and with Blair Riley. But Adam Keefe in particular was pretty happy and felt that, you know, the Giants controlled that game.
Spoke to Kiefer after the game on Saturday night, and he was well pleased. You know, obviously going 1-0 down, and we've been 1-0 and 2-0 and 3-0 down this season, and it's the composure that the lads. I mean, even if you look at last week, we're 5-0 down against Guildford, and we actually come out for the third period, which we didn't turn up for the first and second. You come out and you won the period 3-0. When you're 2-3-0 down with this team, I'm still not feeling that we're out of every game. If you'd have done this last year, I think we'd have probably lost more games than one, and maybe the year before as well. But it's the never say die attitude that Adams is sort of instilling in the team. Guys, don't be panicking. Just keep on doing what you're doing, and it'll work out. And you know, he's even said when they were 1-0 down at the end of the first period, he thought the Giants were doing okay. We come out, had a great start to the second. You know, Jim Vandermeer got us off the real flyer, and
great finish.
I really didn't think we were going to lose that game, even being 1-0 down. I really didn't. I thought we played, I thought we controlled it. I thought we, you know, we looked as if we're, when you're, you hear coaches saying about clutching at sticks, you don't see any of that. You're seeing guys that are trying to get into space to give options to the guy who's got the puck. So, you know, the likes of Brendan Connolly, who was missing on Sunday, Saturday night, Jonathan Fern was missing Saturday night. And, you know, it's those other guys who are playing that extra ice time. I mean, Darcy Murphy played in the line with David Rutherford and Blair Riley, and I think it was 9 points between them. Mm. That was the first time they played together. Mm. I thought they were excellent. I thought they were absolutely excellent. Darcy Murphy made the game-winning goal for Riles, who, you know, who just basically slotted it down low on Clemente. And honestly, thought we thoroughly deserved the win. Going in there is never easy. It proved it the last game. You know, we're sort of in control of the game and then lost it late on in the third period. But I thought it was thoroughly deserved win, especially being low on numbers. And coming out of it, you know, I thought it was 2 points coming out of Manchester. You've got to be pleased with that.
Some really good performances in there, as you say. He says Darcy Murphy with 3 points, but Davey, the one that stands out, is the captain. 2 goals and 2 assists.
Yeah, there's been times this season that Blair Riley just hasn't been on his game. But, you know, towards the end of the Guildford game, he gets involved in, you know, another case and it sparks a thing a wee bit where the game was already gone at that stage. But you can see the guy coming off the bench to give him a tap on the shorts before he went down the tunnel. And, you know, as a leader, you know, there's been games this season where he's threw the team on his back. And I think on occasions on Saturday night, he was that leader that we've been hoping he would be. 2 goals and assist on the power play. He's starting, his numbers are slowly growing through the season. He's but like we talked about Darcy Murphy having a slow start, you know, I think Brett Riley had a bit of a slow start numbers-wise, not necessarily performance-wise, but you know, you can't always judge things on how many points a person scores. But, you know, ultimately these guys are paid to score goals and score points, and he's definitely came roaring back. But as Simon said, that line with Murph and David Rutherford, and it's just a completely different dynamic from the Ferland and who do we have? Says done this last week as well. The big line,
Ferland,
Kurtze,
John Kurtze, and Blair Riley.
You know, a completely different dynamic. One big guy, two wee guys, and Riley being looked on as the big guy on that line, having to do the work in the corners and let those other team nip about. And I thought Riley was really, really good on Saturday night.
One word for the Storm says, you know, they started off really well, like at the start of the season. They got themselves on top of the league and they held it there for a while. But I think over the last 10 games, they've dipped to a real, real poor turn. They didn't get anything from the weekend past. They went up to Dundee and got nothing. They got nothing from us. And they seem to be sinking.
Good. they did get off to a good start, but I just think they've been found out. You know, they came in and they just basically they sort of linked up very well. And I mean, I'm just looking at their stats here at the minute. They've only won 3 of their last 10 games. The one's against Edinburgh. Actually, 2 of them's against Edinburgh. You know, so they've lost against Milton Keynes twice, lost against Dundee twice. And, you know, that's teams with the greatest respect that they should be doing better against. You know, they're good, supposed to be good in their own rink. And yes, they beat us earlier in the season, but I didn't think they were. I mean, we gave them a lesson in Belfast last month, 9-3, wasn't it?
Yep.
And then obviously they're in the weekend as well. They're conceding goals for fun. They just don't seem to be. I mean, like Ryan Finnerty's coaching, he's got a really difficult, you know, task on his hand because doing his general manager role as as coach as well. So. You know, I'm assuming he's probably saying he's still learning as well. But no, I didn't rate them in Belfast. Certainly didn't rate them on Saturday night. And I think they'll probably finish mid-table.
Right, the highlights from the game are available from Storm TV. You can get them on YouTube. I think they put out the goals pretty early. And of course, you can get the interviews post-game on soundcloud.com/AVFTB, where you'll also find Davey's interview with Ashley Tate from last week. Moving on, the Belfast Giants travel just over the Pennines to South Yorkshire, from Cheshire to South Yorkshire, to take on the Sheffield Steelers. They've had the run of it against the Steelers this season, and that continued. The Giants took a 3-2 regulation win. Scoring opened in the first period after 10 minutes by Colin Shields from the right-hand side, a lovely finish past Mustakovs. But the Steelers hit back 5 minutes later, a bit of a controversial goal from Colton Freder. The Giants took the lead again from Brennan Connolly in the second period, and Darcy Murphy in the third period extended that to a 3-1 with a lovely finish. Robert Dowd down the right-hand side, a goal that maybe we'll talk about, the Jackson Whistle will probably want back, made it 3-2 and made the last 5 minutes of the game very interesting. But the Giants were able to hold on with regards to goalkeeping. Jackson Whistle, 23 shots, 21 saves. Irvin Mustakov's 27 shots, 24 saves. Referee Tom Darnell. And Simon, you know, in this 10-game, it is a 10-game road swing. It was a 10-league game road swing. It's now a 9-league game road swing. We'll come to that later. But every point is important. Going into Sheffield and coming out with yet another win is superb for the Giants.
Yeah, four times we've played them a season, 3 in Sheffield and we've won 4. And you know, they had our number last season. And was it last season? Yeah, it was last season. Hopefully it looks as if it's switched on its head and we've just had success against them. And, you know, they'll argue that they were down some bodies and maybe didn't get the rumble agreeing with regards to the official calls. And I think we'll probably talk about the Tom Darnell refereeing on Saturday night as well, Sunday night, sorry. But again, I thought we thoroughly deserved it. You know, it's, you know, Colin Shields got us off to a great start. And, you know, I think it was Adam said earlier in the season, you know, when you see Sheds going down the right wing and he's got a bit of space to wind up, you know he's just going to score. I think Mr. Cops will probably be disappointed because he went through the 5-hole and he'll be, you know, he didn't get much help with his defenceman, but they get back into the game with that guy Fredder, you know, on an incident that Brendan Connolly was sticked in the face. He ended up getting 2 stitches by Colton Fredder. The referee sticks his arm in the air. Jeff Mason thinks he's calling the high stick on Fredder. They go up the other end and score, which, you know, my understanding is that when he was asked about it, Tom Darnell, he basically said, "I thought he died." You know, that's not good enough. It is not good enough. You have to be 100% certain that he died. He obviously didn't. He took a high stick in the face. It was intimated that he did dive by Paul Thompson. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, embarrassing because he ended up with a couple of stitches. He's already going to dive head first into the bloody ice lick. So, you know, picking up that, coming out again, and then great to see Collins not reacting the way he had have done maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago and taking an abusive official call. He didn't do it that way. He got back on his feet again, got the game, you know, go-ahead goal in the second period. And I thought Brendan Connolly was outstanding Sunday night. But leading into it, and then obviously Darcy Murphy getting the 3-1 up, and how excited and how well did he take that goal around Mustakovs, and God, he really did celebrate as well. So thoroughly deserved win, 4 points in 2 tough buildings. You just can't fault it. The team played absolutely outstanding over the weekend.
Let's return, Davey, to that, you know, says, put it quite succinctly, but that controversial incident. It was actually controversial, let's say, minute and a half, maybe, if you bring it all the way back to Blair O'Reilly's hook on Andres Yantin. Yantin goes down. He gets hooked on the, well, it looks like he gets hooked on the right arm, which I'm no issue with the hooking call, to be honest, but he gets it on the right arm. He reaches for his left arm glove and he pulls off his glove as if he's hurt on the left-hand side. Darnell correctly calls him for, well, diving, but, you know, embellishment on this. And then, so we've got 2 coincidental penalties, so it's still an even strength. And then you have, as Sid says, you know, Fredder lifts the stick up. It hits Connolly. Down Connolly goes onto the ice. And up Fredder goes the other end and scores. As Sid says also, the upshot of that being Connolly had a bit of a barge at the Steelers bench. Kiefer definitely wasn't happy because when you looked, and you can see it quite clear in the video, Paul Thompson there signaling it was a dive, it was a dive. Your thought on that whole sort of scenario?
We had a situation a number of weeks ago in Belfast where Connolly gets tagged after he's let a shot off. I think it might have been Joey Martin. It might have been in the Cardiff game.
It was Joey Martin.
Joey Martin catches Connolly, and I thought it should have been a suspension, and it wasn't called on the night. And I spoke to one of the officials that was performs in this league, and he says referees and linesmen can't guess if they don't see it clearly. They can't call it. And in my understanding or opinion from what happened Saturday night, Tom Darnell's behind that play. He can't see the high stick, but he can't then call a dive. If he's not certain the player's died and he's not certain the player's got a high stick, you have to play on, and then you can see the blood and what, I don't know if you can retrospectively go, shit, I made a mistake here, put my hand up. He shouldn't have been called for a dive. You know, see the stick goes around. The stick is quite low, so I'm not quite sure how the stick hits him, but it obviously does because he's cut bad enough to need stitches and he's left badly bleeding. But in that situation, if a referee a couple of weeks ago in Belfast has said, I can't make that call because I'm not certain and I can't guess to make a call, then don't guess and make a call in Sheffield. You've put a team not short-handed, but a team's gone up the other end of the ice and scored. Instead of us going on the power play, we've conceded a goal. And, you know, in a game that we're in quite good control of, you know, all of a sudden, it's tied up and we're having to go back to work to get that back in. What I loved about the Belfast Giants on Sunday night was with maybe 10 minutes to go on the clock, and you know Sheffield are going to come at you. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at you to try and get back in this game. We had an attitude of throw whatever you want at us. We are not losing this game. We were all over them on the forecheck when we were penalty killing. I think is it Cole Jarrett takes a, Simon would call maybe a selfish penalty. It's a really, really silly cross check to take with you know, 45 seconds or something left in the game. Put them on a 6-on-4 for the last 45. You know, we dug in and we said, we're not getting beat here. And we forechecked hard, we backchecked hard. We got that puck out of our zone, up off the glass when we had to. I just thought it was one of the most complete performances we have put together for a very, very long time. We played that 60-minute clock. We did not take one shift off on Sunday night, and we accused players in the last couple of weeks here of swinging the lead a bit, being slow off the ice on line changes and just going through the motions at times, especially in that Guildford game. Couldn't be levelled at us in the Sheffield game. I thought we were outstanding from first hooter to last hooter.
Interesting comment after the game, Simon, from Paul Thompson. He obviously was a very angry man, thinking that the compete level for the Sheffield Steelers wasn't there, and also said it related to the fact that Darcy Murphy played very well and like that, but he was not a happy man with his Sheffield Steelers side after that game.
Yeah, tied them up. I think he's right, to be honest. I mean, I've seen a lot of criticism of Ben O'Connor from Sheffield Steelers fans and other fans throughout the league. You know, Ben O'Connor is one of the top defensemen in this league, and I would absolutely love him to see in a Belfast uniform. But, you know, if the Sheffield Steelers aren't performing, there's only one person to blame. That's Paul Thompson.
Yeah.
He's the coach. He's the one who's got to take responsibility. Yes, he's passing it on to the players to try and deflect it away from himself, in my opinion. But, you know, the Sheffield Steelers, the budget that they have for going out there, you know, going out and changing players whenever they want to, you know what? Knock yourself out. And sometimes it comes back to bite in the backside. That the new guy they brought in, Francilla, you know, he was anonymous in the game. I think he was mentioned twice on the commentary by Jonathan Fernley. I think he was mentioned twice, and I don't think he was any use whatsoever. Obviously, you know, are they missing Zach Fitzgerald for a bit of rough stuff to try and get them back into the game? Yeah, possibly. That's his role. But, you know, they've got a guy, Matheson, on the back end. I think he's a real quality player. But for the rest of them, it'll tighten them up. 4 out of 4 this season, it's all about the chance.
Do you think says they've maybe shuffled their pack too much? You know, rather than maybe stick with a player who's maybe not showing the form? We talked about Darcy Murphy earlier on there. You know, Paul Thompson maybe would have gassed Darcy Murphy early in the season. You know, he's very, very quick to let a player go. And, you know, Belfast Giants have always been really patient. And we have always been an organisation that very, very seldom over the last 15 years have we let a player go that isn't performing. Very seldom.
Well, Divi, if you listen back, I think we did an interview. I think Paddy did the interview with Paul Thompson earlier in the season. First, maybe we played them. The first game of the season was in Belfast, not for our first home game, but the first time we met them was in Belfast. And I have something in the back of my head saying that he was ranting and raving, saying how early they got their business done and went out and got the right players coming in. Doesn't look like it.
It's interesting as well. What I take, Davey, from you bring up about them shuffling the pack. It's something that he brings up in that interview. The fact that if people aren't going to perform, they're going to have to make changes. That they also made it public that they were going to be coming back in on Monday. They weren't getting their day off. Their performances in conference. They've got, what was it, one win out of 9 games within the Urquhart Conference. There's a problem there in Sheffield.
Yes, and there also seem to be, if you believe everything you're reading, Twitter and Facebook and social media and stuff, there seems to be a bit of a disconnect with the fans. And I don't know whether that statement on Sunday night to say players are coming in on Monday, that's just not a statement you would get out of Belfast. We've talked about Sheffield for years and years. We've said, you know, we never wash our dirty linen in public. And Sheffield do. They always have. They've always gone to the papers. And, you know, right through Finner's time and all that, there was always something in the papers about what was going on behind the scenes. And, you know, is that a bit of a thing to the fans? Okay, you boot us, where the guys will be in working again tomorrow. You just wouldn't get that in Belfast. So I just don't know. There is something smelly there.
And what about the Giants, Davey? You know, we're now 6 games through. What, 2 points dropped. We've got a Challenge Cup. We'll talk about those games later on. But performance thus far, you know, if you take into account there are 18 points, league points available, we've already got 10.
And I think we said if we could go 60%, we'd be absolutely delighted. We also said, you know, it's about being in touching distance coming 1st of January. And, you know, we've 17 days left in December here and we're still in touching distance at the top of the league. And, you know, if not sitting at the top of it come the weekend there. We've been good. There's games we could have been better in. And, you know, when you're away from home a lot, we've talked about, you know, bus legs, sleeping in hotels all the time, no home comforts, all these things. It's going to be attritional. It's going to be a hard road trip. But the guys are more than halfway through it now and doing really, really well. And performance level is going up and up. You know, the Sheffield game is probably our best performance on the road. And we're getting better as we go along. We've obviously got another road trip this weekend where we've got a couple of hard ones. But, you know, you can only give them, you know, you're never going to give anybody 10 out of 10, but the guys are doing really, really well. And we said about this road trip that it could be a galvanizing experience, you know, that, and it seems to be like that's as tight a unit as I've seen in Belfast Giants uniform for a number of years now.
Simon, you know, same sort of question to you, and the fact that, you know, this was always going to be a tough run. But I spoke to a few people, especially after Sunday's game, and confidence is sky high.
Like, again, if you're winning, you'll feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
You feel better as a group, and you know when they're on the road, and you know if they're playing at home on a Saturday or Sunday night, and it's the last game of the weekend, you know they maybe say, right, guys, see you on Tuesday, and away they go to their families. They've no option but to, you know, go back to the hotel, maybe have a couple of drinks and then get to bed and relax and chill out and, you know, refresh their bodies. But it's they're playing well at the minute. Paddy, I don't want to get, we talk about it all the time, not getting too high in the highs, not getting too low in the lows. You know, yes, we're playing all right. I've literally why you guys were talking, I was just looking at Sheffield Stadium's last 10 games. It's exactly the same record as ours, 6-4. So, you know, don't be getting, yes, we're playing well, long may it continue. Let's, you know, go on to the weekend against Fife and the Challenge Cup. And then, obviously, there's a long travel on the road down to Nottingham, which we are not used to. You know, we either fly over to Nottingham, and we usually do the travel over to Fife. But I'm trying to look, I don't remember doing a road trip like that.
Not for a long time. Not for a few seasons.
You know, and it's, you know, I think the boys are traveling down from, and we talked about this last week, you know, it's one of those ones when you're playing a game and you're you know, you're that playing an intense sport like hockey and maybe coming off the ice at 9:30, 9:45, getting your, you know, your cool down period, getting a bit of food, you know, let's say 11 o'clock by that time, and then driving down. I think the boys are heading towards Newcastle Leeds area. You know, I don't know, in between there at some point to get to bed. So they'll be on the bus for, 4 hours? And then they'll have 3 hours drive down to Nottingham or thereabouts. So it's going to be a tough, tough weekend coming up. But we're, touch wood, we're playing great. Hopefully we can get another positive result in Fife on Saturday night and take that confidence into Sunday against Nottingham.
You talk about
I think it's worth caveating as well, Sam. You know, if they're 6-4, we're 6-4. They've had 5-5 at home, and we've been, I think, 8-2 away. So, you know, you have to factor that in as well. So if you're going to take the last 10, I'd take our 6-4 versus their 6-4, if you know what I mean.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Again, you know, we're doing really well, Paddy. I'm not basically going to sit here and go, well, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. We're playing well. We've got a lot of confidence. The guys have got a lot of belief in each other, which is really, really important as well. And the thing about it is, suspension Spiro's going to miss Saturday. He's back on Sunday again, and hopefully, if he can get a positive referee and not get in any penalty trouble, we all know what Spiro can add to the team if selected.
You're speaking about the Sheffield Steelers record, as of course they've more or less tonight wrapped up the Challenge Cup second leg. Sorry, the Challenge Cup quarterfinal in the first leg by beating the Stars 7-2 in Dundee. They will travel down for the second leg in Sheffield, but with a 5-goal lead, you'd like to think that they are more or less through to the next round. The highlight of our game, this game on Sunday night, the 3-2 victory over the Sheffield Steelers, are available on Steelers TV on YouTube. Let's call up the stats man.
I'm a stat man.
I'm the stat man.
Mr. GMC, what have you got for us this week?
I'll give you a stat that was given to me the other day by the Rain Man, Stevie Thompson. You talked earlier about Colin Shields going down the right wing, winding up and shooting and scoring past Ervin Mustakov. That was his first goal that night was on his 100th shot on target this season. So there's a shot. There's a stat for you.
Goodness me. 100 shots on target?
His 100th shot on target.
In how many games?
How many goals did you have there?
I think he's on about 14 or 15 now, isn't he?
So 14%?
Just give me a little second there, Sam, because
I do good. That's 100 right. Shots.
That's quick miles there. Quick miles there, Sam.
Yes, but he's had more than 100 shots now, Sam. It was his 100th shot was his first shot of the game. Nobody likes a smart arse. Simon Kitchen, so... that's not how it's calculated, but Simon, 165 shots he's had. So that prior to the weekend, he had 97 on, 40 off, and 28 blocks. So 165 shots, 14 goals before the weekend. So he was running at an 8.48% shots to goal ratio, which is pretty hot.
We'll have another stat view from the stats man next week. Let's have a couple of interviews. We, of course, will hear from Adam Keefe and we'll hear from Jeff Mason. But first up, Jim Vandermeer.
Jim, another 4-point weekend, you know, two tough games against Manchester and Sheffield, short benched as well, and managed to come out with those 4 points.
Yeah, it was a great team effort all around this weekend, and, you know, played really good games against both those teams earlier this year, and you know, we knew if we kept it simple and stuck to our game plan, it'd give us a great chance to win.
Going into this weekend, I know Fife in the Challenge Cup, which takes your focus off the league for, it's probably a good thing as well, and then a long trip down to Nottingham. How have you guys prepared for that?
You know, basically the same way we prepare for every game. You know, I think it's just you know, more focusing on what we do as a group more than anything. You know, obviously some teams are going to come at you with different stuff, but that's more in-game adjustment stuff. But you know, I just think, you know, at the beginning of games, just keep it simple, you know, get it deep, just try to get a good forecheck and just kind of build our game from there.
Your coaching role, how are you embracing it this season? So obviously you're doing a little bit more coaching as well as obviously still playing.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's something, you know, I thought about for a long time, and you know, I think Kiefer, he's allowing, you know, Benny and I both to get involved and give our two bits worth, and it's going good. You know, obviously I know a lot more about you know, playing in the defensive end and you know, that side of the game as opposed to Kiefer, you know, with the forwards and stuff. So, you know, he's kind of let me take charge of the D, and you know, I worry about positioning and gaps and D zone type stuff, and you know, it's been good. It's been a lot of fun.
Jim, thanks very much for your time. Give on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Jeff, weekend, another 4 points, another two games for yourself, and it's the first chance we've had to speak to you since you became the all-time leading point scorer as a defenceman, as a Belfast Giant. I know you're a humble enough guy, but it's a pretty good achievement.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know until you brought my attention to it earlier in the year that it was even you know, out there. But I mean, I don't know. I just been a part of a lot of good teams here, been around for a long time, and that obviously helps when you've been in the same team for so long. But you know, it's certainly nice to have something to show for all the time and effort that you've put in, and you know, until someone comes along and takes it, I'll be happy to sit there on the top.
Four more points at the weekend against Manchester and Sheffield, and you seem to be playing a lot of minutes as well. How are you getting on with your experienced body?
It's managing to stay together somehow. I'm not quite sure some days, but no, I mean, it's been good. Hopefully guys will be coming back and be able to put you know, less daily strain on my body, but it's been you know, it's been good, and certainly the games where we can play 60 go a long way as far as you know, being effective throughout the whole game. And when we were real short there, it's really tough to especially back-to-back nights to be effective you know, all the time. So it certainly helps with six, and you know, I think as a team we played really well, and that makes it defensively makes it that much easier when the forwards are coming back and everyone's playing good team defense. It's not hard to you know, makes the D's job a lot easier.
This weekend, you're talking about long road trips, probably one of your longest of the season. Fife away on the Saturday, and then a long trip down to Nottingham on the Sunday.
Yeah, it's something we're not really used to here. I mean, everyone thinks of our travels being so bad, but we don't have long bus trips, really. So it's a bit different, but, I mean, again, it's something that, you know, everybody that's playing here has done it at one point or another. So you just kind of... you know, focus on the Saturday game, and then you know, try to get a little bit of rest and sleep in between, and then come out. You know, certainly a game in Nottingham with the quality of team that they have, and it's not a hard one to get up for. So it shouldn't be, you know, mentally it shouldn't be too tough, even though the travel's long.
Adam, another excellent weekend, picking up two brilliant victories, and not most importantly, the 4 points.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was, you know, it's when we look back at the road swing that we've been on, and the way that I've asked the guys to approach it is in little segments, and certainly happy with the 5 out of 6 so far. And, you know, we're just a little over halfway done, and we need to keep this momentum going and not get complacent and happy with where we're at. You know, things can change week to week.
The Sheffield game on Sunday, there seemed to be a bit of discussion with yourself and Paul Thompson on the bench. It's just Christmas wishes?
I was wishing him all the best for his holidays, that's for sure, yeah.
Moving on to this weekend, you've got a long road trip, which is something that you don't necessarily do as a Belfast Giant. You either get over to Scotland or you fly over to England most of the time. But you've got the ferry over to Scotland, you've got Fife on Saturday night, and then that long road trip down to Nottingham on Sunday.
Yeah, it's certainly, as you know, Scotland to England trip is never a fun one, that's for sure. But, you know, this is pro hockey, and guys are certainly used to having to travel before games. And it's nothing new to anybody. So, especially, you know, some of the guys like Jackson who came straight from junior. Some of the travel in junior is the worst, especially in the Western League. So, travel is what it is. You know, we have to adapt our game a little bit if you're tired, and play the right way, play smart, and until you get your legs going, get the bus legs out, and those type of things. At the end of the day, it's another hockey game that we need to win, and another weekend. We need to have a big weekend, and so you know, we'll approach the first game being Fife. Obviously, the Challenge Cup quarterfinal, first leg of the aggregate, and it's about kind of educating the players on the new players on what an aggregate really means and how important that first game can be. So we're gonna have to get off to a good start in Fife, and we have to be ready to play our best, because they are certainly a team that I think is gonna sneak into this title race once they make up their games. And they're obviously always a dangerous team in their building. So,
Nottingham on Sunday. Again, they're a tough team. Unfortunately, we've had a couple of good games this season with them, but you know, it's going to be another tough game when you get to the NIC.
Yeah, you know, I think we've had a few good games against Nottingham. One at least that we deserve. I thought we deserved at least another point from. And then the second, you could arguably say we could have the point. 1 point could have went the other way in overtime. So, you know, we're gonna have to be good. I mean, Nottingham's always a dangerous team. They got a lot of firepower. They can score goals and they can they skate real well. They transition well. And, you know, we have to be at the top of our game to, if we're gonna go into the NIC and take points over there. So. Again, not trying to look too far ahead, just trying to focus on the quarterfinal aggregate first leg. It's a big one for us, and you know, it's one of those trophies that, like I said, I keep trying to say, it's eluded us since I've been here, and I think years before that as well. So it's one that we wanna cross off the list for sure.
Any more update on injuries? And obviously, Spiro still suspended for the first game, and I'm assuming he'll travel for the potential selection for the Nottingham game.
Yeah, Spiro will definitely be on the road trip, and available for Nottingham. Stephen Murphy's obviously, he's still recovering from shoulder surgery, and Mark Garside is still being evaluated by the doctors, and he won't be in the lineup this weekend. And Dustin Johnner, again, still in the middle of his rehab, so we'll be without those three guys. I'm hopeful for John Kurt's return. But again, you know, he's starting to skate, and we'll see where he's at once he's evaluated by the doctors and see how he feels himself after a couple of days of practice. So, I think at the most we might have another body back in, but you know, we were at full imports regardless. So you know, not a whole lot will change between last weekend and the weekend coming.
Thanks to Jim, Mace and Kiefer. Around the league, I'll start off with a bit of DOPS. Should I do a jingle? Let's do a jingle. Why not?
DOPS. 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 Yeah, yeah, Dops. 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 Yeah, yeah.
All suspensions come from the Milton Keynes Lightning. First up, who we got first up? Francis Verlaine-Paul. He has received a four-game suspension, which is two-game suspensions. One for a check to the head and... Sorry, two games for a check to the head and two games for fighting. Have any of you seen the incidents?
I haven't.
No. Well, I have. The check to the head, he was travelling on, but he seems to come off his feet and check the Dundee player to the head. And with regards to the fight, I think he's been accused of pulling the opposition player's hair or the likes, so the way his head comes back, and then he punches him on the ground as well. The other incident that took place in that game is a suspension to Matt Nickerson, who will receive a two-game suspension for cross-checking. Have you seen this one, lads?
Nope, but I was talking to him.
Dave, have you seen it? I sent it to
you. What was he saying, Simon? he was saying that... Actually, no, I better not say what he was saying.
He's saying he doesn't agree with the suspension then?
Well, he didn't think he deserved to.
He does turn around. It's sort of a... I actually, to be honest, and I don't say this lightly, it looks like the guy he hits does make the most of it, but he does check him and crush him in towards the net that it does fall over. And I think Nickerson himself makes a sort of signal that he's made the most of it, but it's still a suspensionable incident. Which
That's basically what he said without the blue.
That's all the incidents really from DOPS. Regards to personnel, the Milton Keynes Lightning have released Ludwig Carlson with immediate effect. He appeared in 23 league games for them, scored 2 goals and 8 points, 6 Challenge Cup games, and he scored 2 goals and 4 points. And quote from Pete Russell, "I have nothing but positive things to say about Ludwig. It just didn't happen for him here." I think that goes back a little bit to what we were discussing earlier, Davey. In other words, if they don't cut the mustard, then they get cut.
Yeah, he was obviously brought in there to score goals, score points, and he wasn't doing it. So Pete Russell has sacrificed him. I don't know whether they're looking to bring someone else in. But, you know, there's a couple of occasions they've obviously looked at that personnel and said, well, you're not doing it here. Ashley Tate as well, you know, was there and is gone again. So, you know, as you say, it's a what have you done for me lately, you know, business. And unfortunately for those guys, they haven't done enough.
A good weekend for the Coventry Blaze, 4 points with a win over the Brayhead Clan at home before going up to the Edinburgh Capitals and winning 4-2 there. Dundee Stars got that 5-3 win over the Storm. Any other real... Nottingham Panthers got no points from the weekend. We'll talk about them in a second, but they got no points from the weekend, having been beaten at home by the Cardiff Devils and then travelling to Guildford, where the Guildford Flames beat them 5-2. Since I think there's a stat, somebody threw a stat, the fact that Guildford have scored 5 goals in a single game against more or less all the big teams.
Listen, we played them last week and we've seen, you know, we played them already twice at home. And I honestly, the teams I've seen playing in Belfast against the Giants this year, they're the ones who impressed me the most so far. When we played Sheffield, Nottingham and Cardiff in Belfast, but the team that's impressed me the most is Guildford. So I'm not surprised about that at all.
It's interesting. I think it's a bit boring, really, but it's something we bring up every week, Davey, is the fact that the Milton Keynes and Guildford are doing pretty well. Were we that expectant of them to maybe, because we remember the likes of Fife coming in, Dundee coming in, Edinburgh coming in, Brayhead coming in, and taking a couple of seasons to even get those consistent wins? Are we just surprised at the fact that these two teams have come in and they've been able to compete?
Not so much. We I think it was you, Paddy, knew more about the financial situation perhaps maybe than me, for sure, anyway, and said, you know, that you were certain that Guildford would spend a bit of money over the summer and bring in some decent players, and they brought in players with elite league experience. You know, they're not a team that's stepping up and having to bridge a massive gap, because they have players that have been around the block and have played at this level before, know what they've got to do, and they've got a lot of speed and they've got a lot of guile. And as Sam said, there hasn't been too many better performances against us in an away rink than that of the Guildford Flames, certainly last week. You know, they came at us and came at us and came at us. They identify weaknesses very quickly, so they're well coached. And the same with Milton Keynes, well coached and got good players. And I think there can be an element of complacency with new teams coming in. You go, oh, well, they're only coming up from the EPL, they'll not be up that much. But, you know, they've definitely proved their worthiness of being in this league, and you know, they're at the right end of the table. And as we discussed last week, what their aspirations will probably be is making sure that they're in that final eight for the end of the season. But why not aim higher? You know, they're doing well at the minute, and you know, they'll take more scalps as the season goes on. I think that stat you're talking about was mentioned on the Sheffield game for certain, that the only teams that they hadn't scored 5 against in the spectrum was Nottingham and Sheffield, and then they obviously did Nottingham over at the weekend by 5. So Sheffield are the only team that haven't had a real hiding from them.
Yeah, it's fair play to them. I think it's great to have that. It's great for their fans as well that they're able to compete at this level. Let's have a quick look at the Elite League table before we move on to look ahead to this weekend. Belfast Giants sit top. 25 games played, 33 points scored. Excuse me. Cardiff Devils have played 3 fewer games, but are only 2 points behind the Giants. Nottingham Panthers, after a tough weekend for them, they've played 21 games and they've got 31 points, level with the Devils. Sheffield Steelers have played 24 games and have scored 29 points. Obviously, it's a question I'm going to ask at the end. I'll want to go through this. Manchester Storm, they sit in 5th, 27 points from 22 games. Then Fife, MK, Coventry. I missed out Guildford, did I? Yes, Guildford, Fife, MK, Coventry, Brayhead, Dundee, second from bottom, and bottom 6 points from 22 games, the Edinburgh Capitals. The question I'm going to ask, Simon, is going to put to you, is that obviously the Belfast Giants sit top. They've played 25, 33 points. What frustrates me is the fact that you can't really take anything from the Elite League table when the variance of games played is so wide.
Yeah, Nottingham have 4 less than us, Cardiff have 3 less than us. yes, I'd rather have the points on the board than the games, you know, because they'll come thick and fast coming up towards, you know, Christmas time. There's always a lot of games around the turn of the year, and it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But, look, I think we've got to look at the league table getting into March, mid-February, round of March in time, and then judge from there, because I honestly think this could go down right to the last weekend. I think there's going to be a lot of teams changing position over the next, well, be 4 to 5, maybe 6 weeks, and a lot more games to be played. And again, everybody's going to pick up injuries. Everybody's going to pick up suspensions, especially the way these referees are going at the minute. But it'll be interesting to see how it pans out at the end of the year. And hopefully we're at the top of it where we are right now. But again, it's not even Christmas time yet, so there's plenty of time to go.
Davey, even like you look at the Five Flyers, they've played 6 fewer games than us, which means they could feasibly have 12 points on the board, which would put them top.
Yeah, the column I'll be looking at there, Paddy, just at the minutes, the percentage column, so, and you're we're running at 660, nearly 700, and we've been on the road pretty much the whole season. You know, you would like to think you would up that percentage because you're going to be at home for the second half of the season. If that percentage is upped, we're going to be there or thereabouts. You know, yes, it's frustrating, and it's this whole Challenge Cup thing as well. It goes on every season, and you know, it could feasibly be in the early March before it's all sort of tied up to where everyone's played the same amount of games, and you get Fife aren't going to win 6 games on the bounce and get 12 points and go top of the league. That's not going to happen. You know, could Nottingham win 4 and take a big lead at the top? Could the Devils win 3? Yes, all those things are possible. But, you know, for me, I think, again, I'll say it, if we can be there or thereabouts come the 1st of January or just in the 28th of December, 29th of December, whenever we go in this, sort of start getting home games again, and we have to make that SSE arena into a real, you know, hard, tough place for other teams to come. A tough second half of the season. It'll not be all, you know, we can't get carried away, as Simon says, you know, don't get too high either. We can't get carried away thinking we're just going to turn up the second half of the season and walk away with this. You know, it's going to be hard work every night. When you're top, you're there to be shot at. And at the minute, we're top of the pile. Okay, games in hand, points in the bag, what would you rather have? There's a couple of teams sitting in around us. I wouldn't be too envious about being in their position either. But we're top of the pile for a reason. We're playing very well. We've scored a lot of goals. We've scored more goals than anybody else. Taking a lot more penalties than anybody else. And okay, some of those have been a bit mouthy, but you know, there's a lot of team toughness in there, and there's a desire within this organisation and this roster at the minute just to get the job done. I'm pretty excited for the second half of the season, Paddy.
I have to.
Paddy, sorry for jumping in there, Paddy. I've just had a look at the schedule from the start of the season in the league. We've played 25 games and only 6 at home.
Yep.
19 on the road. And as I say, we're sitting top of the table. So it is going to be. It's going to be interesting. As I say, we've got a long homestand. You know, January itself, from the 29th of December, we've got 8 home games in a row. Now, you will have, actually make that 9 home games in a row, because we'll have 5 in the Challenge Cup, the second leg, on the 9th of January.
Yep.
So, you know, that's a lot of games. It's a lot of hockey. But we need to stay healthy. Davey's talked about there, we're the highest goals. We've scored more goals than anybody else, but we've also taken more penalties than anybody else, and I'm pretty sure we've had more injuries than anybody else as well. If we can get healthy and we can stay out of that, you know, stupid, selfish penalties that hurt the team, we'll be all right.
That's a lot of home games, that's a lot of hockey, and it's a lot of commentating for Simon Kitchen.
I bought a box of Strepsils there, which will take me through. For 48 packs in it, so hopefully that'll keep me going.
Right, let's move ahead. Look ahead to this weekend's games just ever so briefly. We don't have any interviews this week because, truth be told, I've been far too busy to even try to chase them down. On Saturday, the game between the Belfast Giants and the Five Flyers was to be a league game. That has now been changed to become the first leg of the Challenge Cup quarter-final in Kirkcaldy. against the Flyers at 7:15. Davey, in his interview earlier on, Adam Keefe spoke about the fact that the guys need to get into their heads what an aggregate score is, because a lot of these guys won't have played two legs games with aggregate scores. But going into Fife, we've had wins there. We've done pretty well. But last season, they are tough. They have shown that they can take scalps.
Yeah, they'll be a difficult team to beat in their own barn, and they'll also be playing, an aggregate game. They'll be looking to, with the greater. You have to sort of caveat their things and say with the greatest respect. If all things go according to plan, the Belfast Giants should, over six periods of hockey, beat the Fife Flyers. Touch wood, I'm probably scudding this there. But the Fife Flyers will be looking to still be in a game come the second leg, and that's what we have to be. This game won't be won in the first leg, but you could lose it. Yep. I know that's a corny thing to say, but,
Look at the Dundee Stars tonight.
Yes, the Dundee Stars would have liked to have had something to take back to Sheffield, but... Or it was in Sheffield, wasn't it? Sorry, to go back to Dundee with.
It was in Dundee,
was it? So that's an even worse result for them. They'd have been looking to take something back to Sheffield and be in the fixture come the start of the second game. So that's what the Belfast Giants. The actual result on the night isn't as important as a win, loss, draw. It's about being within touching distance there to go back to the SSE to complete the job in the second leg.
Simon, one thing that also what Adam Keefe said earlier on in his interview is the fact that the Challenge Cup is a trophy that's eluded him in his years with the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, he wants to win it. He genuinely wants to win it. But he's also got a lot of respect for the Fife Flyers. He was talking. I don't think he mentioned it on the interview I did with him this morning. But he was saying that the Fife have played a lot less games than what we have so far in the league, and he says if they can get going, they've got a really good team. So we've beat them this season so far. Again, I agree with Davey there. Over six periods, I'd like to think we'll be too strong for them. But hopefully the players that are, we're still missing one import. Spiro's still suspended for the week for Saturday's game. And then we'll hopefully be back to full import status on Sunday against Nottingham. But the Fife Flyers, they're good in their own barn, and they've got good goaltending. They've got guys that can put the puck in the net, and I think they're a good team. So it's a lot of hard work, and hopefully the guys don't have their eye on Nottingham, and they concentrate on Saturday first of all against Fife.
That's absolutely right. That we'll keep you up to date. Like him, I think there is a webcast, but we'll keep at AVFTB. We'll try to give you whatever info we can on that. And then, as Simon alluded to earlier in the show, there is that drive from Kirkcaldy through Edinburgh all the way down the coast past Newcastle and Sheffield, all the way down to Nottingham to take on the Bears at the Bear Pit. 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. Last weekend for Nottingham, they didn't come away with any points. A home loss to the Cardiff Devils, and then, as I said earlier, that away loss to the Guildford Flames. However, I guess in this case, Simon, beware the injured Panther.
Yeah, again, the Panthers have got a good team. They've played in that other competition in the CHL, and they put up some really good performances. They've got some, I think they made some great signings during the summer, and we've found it tough against them this year. I think there's maybe one game you'd certainly like to maybe get a wee bit more out of, and then the second game against them in the NIC, but didn't really turn up again until the third period. So some of these have been a challenge for us this year. We've got a couple of good results lately, and hopefully the guys can, as I say, they get a positive result on Saturday night, take that confidence into Sunday, and then put up another good performance. We've talked about there have been four games less than us, and I think the least we can get out of that, well, we need to get out of that, is we definitely need at least one point to take them to overtime, but picking up the two, you've got a good enough team, confidence is high, let's just hope we can do a job.
Davey, despite their weekend's outcomes, Nottingham Panthers must still be one of the favourites for the league title.
Oh, absolutely. They've got depth. They've probably got the deepest roster quality-wise in the league.
Two top netminders.
And they've built from that position of netminder as well. And, you know, the likes of Perlini coming in maybe wasn't expected just to be, I think he might be leading their team and scored at the minute. I'm not 100% sure, but I know he certainly was a number of weeks back. You know, probably was thought he'd be coming in to maybe run a third line role, something like that. And he stepped up there and he scored a lot of points for them. And, you know, they've always got the likes of David Clark, who's always been a complete weapon against Belfast. But, you know, we've been in there with the first game, as Simon said, you know, we ran them close. Second game maybe just wasn't quite as close. And we did really well. And Simon's talking about, you know, we had real trouble with Sheffield in the last number of seasons there. We have had great success against the Panthers in the NIC over the last couple of years, and this year we just haven't been able to convert. Certainly the first performance was pretty good. The second one we'll want to work on, and gives us an opportunity at the weekend here. You know, we've lost, I think we lost them at home as well, so I think we played them three times.
Yeah, we lost in overtime.
Ended up with just the 1 point. So we'll be keen to, and as Simon says, this is what we should call a show, Simon says, you know, a lot of our losses this season, right across, has been the second night of the weekend. You know, we traditionally would do pretty well on a Saturday, we're losing on Sunday. That's where our losses have been, you know. So we have to go in there with I think we're better at the minute than what we were earlier in the season. So we've got to go in there with a real structured game plan. Shake those bus legs off early, because it is going to be a long run for the boys down from Kirkcaldy down to Nottingham. So, you know, we have to get out to a secure start. We've got to try and manage the puck, manage the game as best we can until we get those legs going, and then hopefully use the good fitness that we've been building up and that desire and that will to win to, you know, turn this into a real third period performance.
Well, this is game 7 and game 8 of this 10-game road swing. It's only two more after that before we finally get home on the 29th of December against the Edinburgh Capitals. That game on Sunday against the Nottingham Panthers is at 5:30 p.m. There is, of course, no webcast from there. There will be Twitter coverage from Panthers Hockey Live. And I think you're going to be there, Simon, are you?
Yes, I can do updates if we get a good... It's a good enough reception, good enough Wi-Fi, isn't it?
They've got decent Wi-Fi there, yeah.
Yeah, I'll do updates on AVFTB.
All right, updates from AVFTB from our good friend with the fantastic spelling, Simon Kitchen.
lots of shits from Colin Shields.
Jim Van Der Meer with a 60-foot one.
Right, briefly, let's wrap this up with a bit of the fan agenda. We've had a few things in. I'm going to pick these three, which aren't actually questions; they're just statements. But we'll go and we'll see what we got. We got John Ford. We mentioned actually he was on last week, the guy from the Door 14 Hockey Podcast. He says not specifically a TFA. Well, it is, John, because we asked for all sorts. But he's going to retract his bus legs nonsense from last week after the performance last weekend. If the Giants can keep that up, maybe let's just stay on the road. It's like we've mentioned it a couple of times in regards to bus legs. You just mentioned it there, Simon. But you take into account, again, I think it's something that Adam Kiefer, one of the guys, said earlier. A lot of the imports, a lot of guys coming in from the Coast League, a lot of the juniors, the drive from Fife to Nottingham is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, especially coming out of college or kind of junior as well, so they do a lot of miles and I mean, most of the guys should be used to it. I mean, yes, if you're playing the NHL, you're probably least used to it than anybody else. But you know, it'll be interesting to if we can keep it. We talk about not be getting too high. We're playing well, and the guys seem to be managing the schedule and obviously rest, and they're getting everything right. And when you do that and they prepare well, you get rewarded. So I was talking to Taff there last night, and he was saying that one of the things that the guys are really positive about this year is Jonathan Ferdinand. You know, they call him the constable because he just calms everybody down. He just, you know, he stood up after one of the games on a Sunday a few weeks ago, but last month I think it was, and he just said, guys, we need to do better on a Sunday. I know we'll play Saturday, Sunday, and I'm not used to it because when he was playing in Austria, it's usually Friday and Sunday.
Yeah.
They were playing the way they do in the DEL as well.
Yep.
And he says, we need to do better. We need to be better on a Sunday. He says, we're not putting enough good performances in. And then over the last number of weeks, we've been a lot better on Sunday. So hopefully the constable comes up with
some more words of wisdom after leaving Fife on Saturday night?
Well, a championship-winning captain with the Vienna Capitals, wasn't he, Davey?
He was indeed, and he's been very good. He's been physical, Paddy. More than I was expecting. I wasn't expecting him to be just quite as boisterous on the forecheck and leading the team in that physical manner. He's certainly put up points, and he's very, very good in the face-off circle. He would kind of be our, I would call him our go-to face-off guy, certainly in those last couple of minutes. If you've got a big face-off, he generally gets through out there to take it. And he's done really, really well this season. And if Simon has said, Simon says, you know, he's been brought in to be that leader, to bring that leadership role, that veteran presence. If he's standing up in the locker room and everybody's listening to him, well, that's even better.
I'll go to you, Davey, with the comment here from Stevie Giants 83. I think that's something, again, that we mentioned earlier in the show. It's nice to watch a game that maybe would be 2 or 3 nil down and know that it isn't over. Last few years when we went behind, the heads have dropped and that was it. Exciting team this year. Lots of fights or brackets or goons if you don't have a valid argument to come back with.
I like this team. We've talked over a number of weeks about what it is we like about it and the physical edge we play with. I like, you know, Spiro, sometimes the red mist came down. Conley's talked himself into things. Different ones have talked themselves into penalties over the season. It's getting that discipline in place, and if this team becomes a little more disciplined but still plays with that, plays on the edge, plays right on the line of what's right and wrong, that's the kind of hockey that I want to watch personally as a Belfast fan. I want to see that blue collar, hard hitting, going to the net, hard on the forecheck, hard on forwards coming into our corners as well, keeping them away from our goaltender. I love all that kind of hockey. You want to go and stand in front of Jackson Whistler, you are going to take punishment from this team. And that hasn't happened over the last number of seasons. Ram Martinelli's been a beast in there. Anybody goes in near there, you're getting sticked right out of the road. And, you know, even defenders going back for chasing the puck. And Simon says, you know, you don't want to hear those big feet coming, bang, bang, bang. You've got your head up and you're trying to get that puck away as quick as you can and causing turnovers. And then, you know, he likes it, Darcy Murphy going in, and what a fantastic goal. Puts Moose on the ground, stick handles around him, sticks it in the empty net. This team has just got a little bit of everything. It's built with speed, it's got a lot of skill, and it's got a lot of heart and grit.
Simon, there's a name that Davey brings up that we probably should have brought up earlier, and Ryan Martinelli. The guy was a beast at the weekend. The guy's been fantastic all season. We've said it week in, week out, but you throw in the fact that, you know, on Sunday night in Sheffield, he takes a hell of a slap shot from the puck that comes off a stick into his face, but he's straight back into the play.
Yeah, I don't think he got a couple of stitches out of it, but I don't think it did him much harm because the beard saved him from what I'm led to believe. But he's been outstanding. You know, we talk about the ABF TV Player of the Month, and he's been voted in.
Nominated in every month, I think.
So far this season. And I honestly think he's been our best player since Christmas. You know, at the tail end of last season and lead it into this year, overall, if you combine the players that stayed last year to this year, Martinelli's been head and shoulders, in my opinion, the best player. And I think he's been outstanding. He's taken, you know, you'd seen it on Sunday, on Saturday night, sorry, there was incidents there that Jay Rose held going straight to the net, and the big man just stands tall, you know, 6'4", and Rose Hill came in and had a bit of a swipe at him as well. Martinelli just sort of looking around at him as if to go, is that it? Seriously? But he's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant. And, you know, he was voted up there in the IHL magazine, but just didn't get enough Giants fans paying attention to it and trying to get him the player of the week. But I honestly think if by the end of this month, he's got to be up there for player of the month. He's been the most consistent arguably the most consistent performer this season for the Giants.
Dave, I know you mentioned him briefly there, but do you have anything further?
On Martinelli?
Aye.
You know, Simon has talked about him being our best player from Christmas last year, and I really like, when he came in at the start of last season, I thought he started brilliantly, and then he just went off the boil for maybe about 6 weeks, and then came roaring back. I can't disagree with anything the big man has said there. He blocks shots for fun. I think he leads the team in block shots. I'll just really, really quickly go blah, 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 blah. Block shots. Big table. Yeah, and by a distance. By a distance, nearly double the amount of shots blocked than any other player on the roster.
So, you know, he's sacrificing his body week in, week out. Those big sides, whoever from the OSC sponsoring his skates is getting some, you know, pounds for their per inch there. You know, they're the biggest skates probably in the league. He blocks shots for fun with those feet, and I'm sure they're black and blue at times because he's always in those shooting lanes, and he's the guy that is prepared. You know, we had Adam Keefe who would have blocked shots with his head. Martinelli's in that vein. He is prepared to sacrifice a body to, you know, to block a shot, to try and make a play for his team. And he has to win Player of the Month one of these months. So you keep going back to the Final Four, you've got a good chance of winning it one of these months. And he's been really, really good this season.
Just talking about blocking shots there, and we didn't touch on it, none of us touched on it. How good was the block that Benny made in the third period coming up towards the end against Sheffield on Sunday night? It was absolutely outstanding. That would have been a real chance. Big shot from the point. They were getting a lot of traffic to the front of the net. Last shift, I think it was. And Benny came in and blocked. I mean, it threw his whole body out at the block, that shot getting to the front of the net. And again, that's another player that probably doesn't get the plaudits he deserves. He's, you know, he's a forward. He'll play anywhere you ask him to play because he wants to be a good teammate. And he's been absolutely outstanding this year. Benny's just an absolute quality player.
Sorry, go on, Derry.
Just one of those things about Benny where he's been in that position where he's had to play D because of our injuries, because of our suspension, and he's played really well in D. But over the last couple of weekends, he's got more and more shifts back up front, and it's like he's never been away. Just as you're saying there, wherever you slot him in, he does a job for you and does it really, really well.
I think we could pick up, especially in the last weekend, we could pick up on little bits like this. So everybody, because when you said that, Simon, the first thing then that pops into my head is the save from Jackson Whistle around 30 to 45 seconds before Darcy Murphy makes it 3-1. You know, I think he just lifts the shoulder, lifts the elbow, pushes it onto the post. Your play goes on, and around 45 seconds later, we've doubled our lead. You know, I think individually, there have been so many players in the last number of weeks that had this stepped up and have stepped up in a big way. Which means, you know, I don't want to say, you know, are we yet to reach our peak? We're yet to actually get a full healthy side onto the ice. So no, I don't think we're yet to reach our peak, but we're playing at such a high level that no doubt the confidence in the room is high and no doubt that it should be high. Final point, I'll ask this one from Scott Matheson. Maybe this might be tongue in cheek. I don't know. Does the league need to look at changing the imbalance in our conference with one team playing 9 games and only winning one? It's embarrassingly lopsided. I'll not put that to his voice. I'll not put that to his. But I do like the point that he's making. Thanks to everybody for their TFAs. Keep it coming through the week at AVFTB. #TFA. Any other business, boys?
Yeah, I've got to give a shout out to. There's a group of people coming down from Macrofelt area. They've become Giants fans this year. Don't know if it's because Robert Fitzpatrick lives up at Neck of the Woods. But they came down. I mean, they came to the cinema the other night. I'm calling them the Culture Crew.
I was going to say, was that Culture Corner that was mentioned on the
Culture Corner? They were honest to God, great crack, really, really great crack. First season Giants fans, and they're absolutely loving it. And again, it's, you know, it just goes to show that the brand is being pushed out. You know, it's not just Belfast; it's Northern Ireland they're representing. And you know, these guys are coming down every week. They're coming down to the cinema. Games that we're having, they're coming down for obviously the home games as well. They came down for the quiz night that we had at Larry's 10 days ago. It's fantastic to see, and you know, everybody at the organisation needs commended for the organisation pushing that out for the whole of Northern Ireland and managing to get new fans coming in.
And how was the cinema? We ask this more or less every week. Cinema go well?
We're 3 for 3, mate. Cardiff, yeah, Milton Keynes, and Sheffield.
That's very
and,
true.
And won them all, and. You know, another big crowd there on Sunday night. Really, really great crack, and obviously getting the win over Sheffield. Everybody loves that. The crowd cheer went up when Tomo, the camera zoomed in on Tomo giving Kiefer what for, and then you see the passion coming out from our head coach,
yeah,
giving it back. Brilliant. Telling, pipe down, big man, just pipe down.
Davey, I think we need him to get this one on the 23rd, sort of, don't we?
Oh, that would be nice, yes, definitely.
You know what? You're not going to believe me. I swear to God. We actually, Brooksy rang today, and the comment coming back from Edinburgh was, look, guys, we're not going to be able to do it. The 4G dongle, it'll not give a good enough signal because there's a rugby match on,
at the same time in Murrayfield.
The Elite Ice Hockey League. In a nutshell.
I get asked the question. I don't think Wi-Fi has reached Edinburgh yet.
Oh, dear. That's a shocker. Anyway, Davey, any other business?
I had, Paddy, but while Simon was talking there, I forgot what it was.
How's the training coming for the bike?
Oh, I haven't been on the bike yet, but if you just want a sponsor, we're still going to have to set that just giving page up. I must speak to Robert Fitzpatrick, because apparently a few of his team sore teammates are going to help out in the night. A few people have been on Twitter saying they'd like to jump on a bike for 10 minutes or whatever time they can spare. So we will keep you posted on what's happening.
Yes, we certainly will. We'll have to get in touch and set this up and try to see how many people are going to stick on the list to join you to try to get through those 300 miles between the 29th and the 30th of December at those games against the Edinburgh Capitals and the Brayhead Clan. Well, if there's nothing else, boys, you still can't remember what it was, Davey. I've given you a bit of time there.
Nah.
On that note, then, thanks to Jim Vandermeer, Jeff Mason, and the Adam Keefe for their time in the interviews. Of course, those games this weekend, Fife on Saturday at 7:15 p.m. in Kirkcaldy, Nottingham on Sunday, 5:30 p.m. in Nottingham. Keep an eye on at AVFTB for info and sizzle of updates on Sunday. Thanks everybody for all their stuff through the week. Keep going to our soundcloud.com/AVFTB for post-game interviews, at AVFTB on Twitter, and of course we're on Facebook. Just search for A View from the Bridge. Simon and David, thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Take it easy, lads. Thanks a lot.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.